All right, good to see everybody today. I want us to go ahead and look at our lesson today. We're going to finish up the lesson that we began last Sunday. Today being the 15th day of June 2025, I want to finish part two of the lesson I started last week from the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. And the title of the lesson is Prayer Changes Things. Prayer changes things. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. Prayer changes things. I don't know if you are familiar with prayer the way we ought to be familiar with prayer. But let me tell you what prayer is. Prayer is us talking to God, telling from our heart what's on our heart, taking to Him our every need, our every burden, our every care. And you know what? We surrender it all to Him. And we leave it there. Amen? We leave it there. Now, last week, we looked at Nehemiah chapter number 1. And we looked at several things last week. We looked at how Nehemiah prayed for forgiveness in verses 4 through 7. And we looked at his request for Israel as well as for himself. We looked at Nehemiah's open confession of sin. He confessed it to God. Of his people and of himself. And then he prayed that God's promise would indeed be fulfilled, you know, and as he prayed. And we looked at that in verses 8 and 9. And we got all the way down to verse number 11. And then I wanted us to see today how that Nehemiah stood upon God's promises there in verse 10. We got down to verse number 10 and we saw that. He was not only reminded of God's promise to deliver them from their enemies, but Nehemiah took that promise and he stood upon it. And folks, we have a blessed book we call the Bible that's filled with promises from God. And we need to anchor ourselves in this book and stand upon the promises of God. God is faithful to His Word. God is faithful to do what He has promised that He would do. And we need to remember that today. And I want us to see this today, part number 3 in our lesson today. I want us to look at how Nehemiah prayed for success. Now, he prayed for success. Now, I don't want you to think that he's one of these blab it and grab it guys. That's not what he was saying. But he had a burden upon him, and he didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do about it, and he needed to go to the king. He needed to be able to take that burden to the king. And through his remembrance of the promises of God and upon his willingness to choose to stand upon those promises, Nehemiah now realized the fact that he had to take up the challenge that God had laid out before him. And he was going to have to take that and know how that he could be able to accomplish the work that needed to be done. And folks, we need to pray and ask God to help us to be successful Christians in our life. Now, I'm not talking about this thing where we're praying for, you know, $100,000 a year and a salary and all that good stuff. And you know, we want to be prosperous and all that. That's not the success he was looking for. He knew what God wanted him to do. The job that needed to be done was to rebuild the city, to rebuild the temple. But how would he ever accomplish that? How would he have success while he lived in captivity? How would he do this great job that God had set before him? And folks, that's what we've got to look at today. How do we do the job for the Lord that God wants us to do today? How do we become successful for God, living for Him, telling others about Him, winning folks to Christ Jesus? How do we do that? In our own power? No. We got to do that in His power. And we have to go to Him and trust Him in everything that we do. So today here, beginning in Nehemiah chapter 1, I want us to look at verse number 11. And I want you to see how that Nehemiah sought to help willingly. Now I want you to look at this today. I want you to listen to Nehemiah's prayer and what he prayed unto God. In verse number 11, he said this. He spoke to the Lord and he said, "Oh Lord, I beseech thee, I plead with thee, I beg thee." That's what he's saying. "I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants," those other men that had come there and told Nehemiah what was going on, Hanani and all the other Jewish brethren. He said, "Lord, I want you to be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day." Nehemiah had now gone from remembering God's promises to standing upon God's promises. And he said, "God, if you've said that you're going to do this for us, I'm offering now myself to you as a servant. I want to be used of you in a great and mighty way to see this promise fulfilled. I want to see you fulfill this promise, dear God." And when, you know, we learn to trust the Lord to fulfill His promises, man, what a great day that is. Amen. I remember working in the business world, and I was in the business world for 16 years at this one company. And we made lots of products. We had million or more dollars in sales every year. And in those years, that was a lot of money. And I was thinking, "Lord, I know that you want me to serve you full time, but Lord, just a little bit more money. And Lord, if I can make some more money, then I can be able to serve you full time. Lord, if I'll just get this and save it up and all this stuff." And I truly believed with all my heart, that's why my boss, the president of the company, made that challenge to me that day. And he sat there in his chair with his arms folded like this and looked at me and he said, "Now, one of these days you can be the president of this company, you can make bunches of money, or you can preach. Now you're going to have to decide what you're going to do." And it was almost like I could see the Lord behind him saying, "Yeah, son, what you going to do?" And this is through Desert Shield and Desert Storm, and we were making products for all that, and three shifts a day, 7 days a week, and all that stuff going on. And I didn't know what to do. I knew what I had to do, but I didn't know what to do, how to do it. And a verse, the Lord led me to this passage of Scripture. I want you to turn there today. It's in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. And I want you to see this with me today. I've never forgot this. I thought, "Lord, why are you putting me in this situation? Lord, why are you doing this to me?" He ended up taking away, at that time, my boss said, "Have you made the decision?" I said, "Yeah, I'm not going to do what you've asked me to do." He said, "I thought that's what you were going to do." And he ended up taking away my title as vice president. He took away my seat on the board. He took away my credit card and all that other stuff. And he took away some money. I think it was $600 a paycheck then. And he took away that. But he said, "I'm going to leave you with the same responsibilities. And when you get hungry, you'll see that I was right, and you'll come back and you'll do what I've said do." And I came back and I told Lisa, I said, "This is what's happening." And she began to cry. She said, "What are we going to do? We had two small children. Didn't know what we're going to do." And I said, "We're going to trust the Lord." Amen. I said, "We can't fail Him. I know what He wants me to do. I just need to do it." And this passage in Hebrews chapter number 10, beginning in verse number 35, I want you to see this. The Bible said here, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." In other words, keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't lose your confidence in what He's doing in your life right now. God's working. You got to trust Him. And then I read verse 36. He said, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. You see, my plan was, Lord, you help me to make all this money, and then I can set it aside, and then I can serve you, because I'll have enough money to serve you. And God was saying, no, that's not how it works. I want you to trust me to supply all your needs. And you need to trust me to do this. So when I read that, I went back and I prayed and I said, Lord, I know you want me to serve you full time. But I don't know if you want me to go back to college. I don't know if you want me to go to the mission field. I don't know where you want me to go. I don't even know what you want me to do. But I'm going to surrender to do your will. And Lord, you're just going to have to open up a job. Because if I turn in my notice and I stand by this, then there's nothing coming in. I don't know where I'm going to go. Don't know what I'm going to do. And so I wrote the letter to my boss. I turned in a 2-month notice because I was going to have to train people to do that job. And I'd been there all that time. I'd learned it. I'd grown up in it. I knew what to do. But we were very diversified in the types of things that we did, and not many people would be able to do that. And so I turned in a 2-month notice, not knowing. And I went to the pastor of my church where I was at the church at. And I told him what I was praying about. And I said, I don't know what God's got for me. I just don't know, but I want to just ask you to help me pray that God will give me wisdom to know. And he came back and he said, well, you know, I've been praying that God would send me somebody to serve as a minister of evangelism here and help learn the things here as an associate pastor. He said, I can't pay you anything close to what you're making there. But he said, if you're willing to serve the Lord, you know, the door's open. And I walked through that door. And 2 months later, I left where I was at. Went to this, you know, went full time at my church. I think pastor started me there at $8.50 an hour. No insurance, no anything, no benefits, no anything. And you know what? God has supplied our need ever since. Amen. But we had to learn to trust him. And folks, let me tell you something. When you know what God wants you to do, that's half the battle. You just got to be willing to trust him to see you through. And so that word of God helped me to understand, number one, I don't need to cast away my confidence in the Lord. I'll keep my eyes on him. He knows what I need. He knew. He said, you have need of patience. And I thought, patience? Lord, I don't need any patience. Tribulation worketh patience. I know what that is. He said, no, you need patience. You need to learn to trust me. And that's what I learned to do, by stepping out on faith. And that's what Nehemiah had to do when he prayed. He stepped out on faith. He said, Lord, this could get me fired from my job. Okay? He was the king's cupbearer. He had a good job, good position in his area of captivity. He had a good position. But he had a job that God wanted him to do, and he knew that God wanted him to do it. And maybe the Lord's led me to say all that to you today because maybe somebody here is struggling with the same thing. Maybe you are battling the Lord and you're saying, well, I can't give God my all, my best, because, Lord, then what would I do? Let me tell you what you need to do. You need to trust him. You need to trust him. You need to trust him. Nehemiah had gone from remembering God's promises to standing on those promises. And that's where you and I need to be today. We know what the pastor has preached. We know what the Word of God says. Now, we got to trust the Lord enough to stand upon those promises. Now, I want to show you what happened when he did that. Nehemiah's heart was probably filled with fear, intimidation, not knowing what was going to happen. But folks, at this point forward in the story, you see the mighty hand of God supplying every need before Nehemiah even asked for it. I have seen God work that way. I have seen it happen. D.L. Moody was such a man, as Nehemiah was. I've got an old book in there. It's written back in the 1800s, early 1900s, about D.L. Moody. And I've kept it all these years. They said, man, you can sell that, make good money. No, I'm not interested in making money. I want to see how other men of God trusted the Lord. I want to emulate that in my life, to trust Him, to depend upon Him, and to see how God blessed them. And one man summed up why D.L. Moody was so successful in his life. And in his book, A Passion for Souls, The Life of D.L. Moody, Lyle Dorset, he gave 10 reasons why Moody was so effective. And I want to share those with you in this lesson today. 10 reasons that God blessed Moody and how he became so effective. All right, number one, and you can write these down. Number one was commitment. Commitment is something a lot of people don't want to fiddle with today. Oh, Lord, I'll be involved, but I'm not going to commit myself to anything. That's the world in which we're living today. That's a spiritual realm that we're living in today. Not many Christians want to be commit. Oh, Lord, I'm glad I'm going to heaven. Boy, I'm glad I don't have to burn in hell. Boy, I'm glad about all that. But they don't want to commit themselves to service unto God. They don't want to trust God. Moody's commitment was described by some as being excessive. Moody's son, William Moody, had this to say about his father's commitment. He said, nothing could swerve him from his deep-rooted purpose of this life and the proclamation of the gospel. Nothing could swerve him from that. Well, I hope my children can say that about their dad. I want them to be able to say that about their dad. But how could any man work for so long with one purpose in mind without a deep-rooted and resolved commitment? How could you do that? The words of British evangelist Henry Varley seem to be seared in the mind and the heart of D.L. Moody. And Moody sat and he heard Henry Varley preach one day. And Varley said this in his message. He said, it remains for the world to see what the Lord can do with a man wholly consecrated to Christ. It remains to be seen. Moody's response to Varley's words were, by God's help, I aim to be that man. And folks, he did. He was committed to serving the Lord. Number two was this. The second reason he was so willing to be used of God. Number two was he had a willingness to take risks. Now, I'm not talking about doing stuff that's foolish. I'm not talking about that. But Moody firmly believed that God never worked mightily through people until they were willing to risk everything for His glory. That's a part of being committed to God. Well, Lord, as long as you don't call me to serve at the church somewhere because they can't pay me this, or Lord, as long as you don't call me to lose any of my passions and my way of living and I have to lose my investments or anything like that, Lord, then I'll serve you. But Lord, don't ask me to do this. Folks today aren't willing to just take the risk and serve God. Moody was willing to do that. And God powerfully used this man because he was willing to trust God no matter what it took. Number three was this, vision. Vision. Moody had a vision. What was that vision? To reach every man, woman, boy, and girl. Do you realize Mr. Moody began the first bus ministry? And they didn't even have buses. They had wagons. And he would fill his pockets full of fruit, apples, oranges, nuts, and all kinds of stuff, and go down through the city and talk to boys and girls and bring them in his wagon to church. And they would have what they called Sunday school for boys and girls and teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, the fact is this, only a leader that has a vision can be the catalyst behind such ministries, Sunday school, evangelistic campaigns, all the stuff that we're able to do here. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And there needs to be a vision. And that's exactly what we see Nehemiah doing here. Nehemiah said, God, the walls have to be rebuilt. We got to figure out a way for this to be done. Number four, he had a sense of the Holy Spirit working in his life. Let me ask you a question today, Christian. Conquerors class member, let me ask you something. When is the last time that you felt the Holy Spirit of God working in your life? Let me ask you that. Now, the Holy Spirit, if you're saved, He lives within you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, okay? This vessel, the Spirit of God lives within you. But let me ask you something. When is the last time that you felt His power in your life? When is the last time that you had a burden to reach somebody with the message of the gospel and you said, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I need your power. And God filled you with boldness and the words to say, to present the message of the gospel to someone that you love and you care for. When is the last time that you felt the sense of the Holy Spirit in power of your life? Many a child of God today lives their life without ever experiencing the power of God working in their lives. And that's a shame. I don't want to be that way. I want to know that I've got His power. I want to know that He has filled me with His boldness. I want to know that He is working in my life to teach me, to help me, to provide for me that sense of knowing that whatever I do for Him, He's going to bless it. And that's what Moody had. Moody would do whatever ministry work he desired and thought best, and then he would ask God to bless it. And later on, he learned to seek the power of the Holy Spirit of God in his life, working with him, refreshing him, giving him confidence to trust the Lord in all that he did for God. Number five, he had a high view of the Holy Scriptures. He had a high view of the Holy Scriptures. Nehemiah trusted God's word. He trusted the promises of God. D.L. Moody began to trust the word of God. And he said, you know what, God, if you've promised that you're going to bless, I'm going to trust you to do exactly that. He didn't question the Bible's director or special messages there. He didn't question it. He trusted it. And he said this, Charles Spurgeon's quote, he had a quote, and he said this, he said, you do not need to bring life to the Scriptures because you draw life from the Scriptures. And that's what we need to see today. He gives us life. Number six, Moody chose to have a Christ-centered life. You know what? If we will keep Christ as the hub of our life, and everything else is just a spoke, okay? Family is a spoke, work's a spoke, service is a spoke, all these things coming from the center. Christ is the center. You know what we do? We put family at the center, and then Christ hopefully is one of the spokes. You know, something for the Lord will fit in there somewhere if we can fit it in. That's not what God wants. He wants to be the center. And Moody had a Christ-centered life. Number seven, he had a confidence in young people. He had a confidence in young people. Now, I know folks say to that, oh, this generation coming up, boy, they're a mess. Well, who's supposed to be teaching them? This generation. We need to be teaching them. And you know what? Listen, what he said. Dwight Moody made it a goal of his life to pour into younger people, to young people. The younger generation, mainly in the schools where he opened in Mount Hermon and Northfield, Massachusetts. And also the school that later became known as Moody Bible Institute of Chicago, Illinois. He would make sure that the tuition of the poor and less privileged students was taken care of out of his own pocket so that they could be able to go to a Bible school, a Bible college, and learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of those folks would have influence all throughout the world because of his confidence in God using that next generation. Number eight, teachability. He had teachability. I know a lot of folks today that are unteachable. I've met pastors that way. You can't teach me everything. I've got all these degrees. I know it all. You know what? I'm going to tell you something today. I don't know it all. You can ask my wife. She'll tell me. Okay? You don't know about this. Yeah, you're right, sweetheart. I don't. But you know what I want to do? I want to be teachable. I want to be teachable. I want the Spirit of God to be able to teach me things that I don't know. He was a man without any formal theological education, but he placed himself before great Christians who would impart unto him great Bible wisdom. He would sit down and pick the brains of men like George Mueller, that great servant of faith that ran all those orphanages and children's homes and didn't know where it was going to get his milk from for the children that morning. And he just prayed and said, God, please supply the need. And a milk wagon breaks down in front of his orphanage. The wheel breaks down. The axle broke. And the guy couldn't get the thing fixed. He came up here and knocked on the door. He said, listen, I've got to have some help getting this wagon fixed, but I don't know what in the world I'm going to do with all this milk. Could you folks use it here? And George Mueller said, thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. He spent time with men like that, Charles Spurgeon, C.H. McIntosh, and others, asking them questions how that he could glean wisdom from them about the ministry. And Moody knew that there was always something to learn and areas to improve in, even if you are successful in the eyes of the world. There's still things that we need to grow and be taught, teachable in. Number nine was humility. Moody loved to play the background. He liked to play in the background. He didn't want to be seen by a lot of people. He didn't like to be out in the limelight. And then number 10, he had a love for souls. He had a love for souls. Moody's love for souls that he ministered to meant everything to him. And folks, I want you to know today, I love you folks. I would do anything for you to try to help you that I can do. But the most important thing I want you to know is, number one, that you're saved. I want you to know that you have truly been born again. I want you to know that heaven will be your home. When you take this last breath on this earth, I want you to know without a doubt that you're going to be in heaven one day when you die. And I'll do anything I can do to help you to come to that knowledge, share with you the message of the gospel. You say, well, I've been a member of the church and I've done this and done that. Listen, if you have all those things, Jesus asked the question, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If you lose your own soul, you've lost it all. We need to have a love for souls today. We need to have a concern for souls. In the end, these 10 characteristics led Moody's effectiveness. And Moody knew that God had called him to a work, and that his work would be effective, stating, if God calls a man to a work, he will be with him in that work, and he will succeed no matter what the obstacles may be. And folks, I want you to understand something. Nehemiah sought God's help. Nehemiah knew the obstacles that were going to be before him. He knew that it was going to be hard. But look what he said again in this prayer in verse number 11. He said, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. And prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer. He said, God, grant me wisdom Grant me mercy in the sight of this man, the king, that you'll supply all my needs. As I look at that verse, and I thought to myself, I want you to remember the words of D.L. Moody when he said, if God calls a man to work, he will be with him in that work, and he will succeed no matter what the obstacles may be. And he went on to say, for many years, I have never given an address without the consciousness that the Lord may come before I have finished that message. And folks, the Lord Jesus could come today before I finish this lesson. But if he does, I want to know that I've done my very best for him. I want to know that I've been filled with his power, with his vision, his love for souls. And I want to give him my very best. And I want you to do the same thing. And folks, prayer changes things. I fear today that many a child of God is going to one day stand ashamed before the Lord with tears in their eyes as these words are being fitly spoken from their lips. If only I had chosen to obey you sooner. Can you imagine standing before God and saying, Lord, I just wish I'd have chosen to obey you sooner in my life. Nehemiah chose to obey God, to trust him, to just depend upon, to stand upon the promises of the Word of God. Why? Because prayer changes things. He sought God's power. He sought God's wisdom. He sought God's mercy and provision. And folks, that's what you and I need to be willing to do today. And I'm telling you from experience, prayer changes things. Amen. You take it to God, amen, and you leave it there. Yes. Leave it with him. We sang that song this morning. I want you to look at it, the words of that song once again. It said, I surrender all. I think there's a lot of folks in here that says, Lord, I surrender some of it, but not all. But the song says, I surrender all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, and in thy presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Take me now. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel thy Holy Spirit and truly know that thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. That was said of Nehemiah. Can it be said of you and I today? Let's pray. Father, I love you today. And Lord, I sure do thank you for one day reaching down and saving this little bus kid. And then, Lord, calling me to preach your word. And, Lord, for allowing me to surrender my all unto you. Lord, I wouldn't trade that for all the things that this world can offer a man. I wouldn't trade it. But, God, my heart is burdened for our people today. And, Lord, we are certainly living in the last days. We can see everything going the way the Bible says it's going to happen around us this very moment. And Lord, I don't want any of your people to stand before you ashamed knowing what you wanted them to do for you, but they just wouldn't choose to do it. And God, today, I lift them up in prayer unto thee. I pray for them because I know that prayer changes things. And I pray, God, that you'll speak to our hearts today. Help us, Lord, to be committed unto you, that we will serve you because it's the right thing to do. Lord, we can love you today because you first loved us and gave yourself for us. I pray, dear God, that you'll use us in a great and mighty way. Help us, Lord, to be filled with your power, not our own, but with your power in all that we do. And Father, we'll thank you for it. Speak to hearts. Bless our pastor now as he stands to preach. And God, we'll thank you for it. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school class. Happy Father's Day to you.